the essentialism thing, it just sort of happened out of necessity. I was overwhelmed and burned out. And honestly, if I could have bought like the ice cream truck and become the ice cream delivery person and made everyone's happy to see the ice cream man. Nobody's happy to talk to their web developer when their website's not working. I was sick of it. And I was trying to, you know, figure out like, what could I do? I couldn't afford to retire. So I had to shift my mindset and not be cranky every time I heard from a client. I should be happy when I hear from my clients. So, you know, it's mindset. So I've worked with a coach.
Most geeks start with one type of online business and soon expand into a lot more. Handling multiple types of businesses is not easy and requires a lot of structural vision. A popular answer to deal with overwhelm is minimalism. But for geeks trying to handle a lot of online business verticals, essentialism can be an answer. Sharing her essentialism framework, here is Jodi Hirsch. So let's welcome Jodi on the show and get started. Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sankanth. Let's get started. Before we move forward, I want to give shout out to Cloudways for supporting this episode. Facing performance and security issues or planning to launch an ambitious project on WordPress platform? Well, Cloudways got you covered with their managed WordPress hosting as one of the best choices for websites looking for ultimate speed, advanced security, and 24/7 expert support. At Cloudways, you can choose any of the top cloud providers like DigitalOcean, Amazon AWS, Google Cloud to quickly get up and set up your WordPress website without the need to be a system admin. Plus, you get CDN, scalability, staging, and backups out of the box. Check cloudways.com and begin without hassle your 3-day free trial. And now, let's begin. Hi, Jodi. How are you?
Hi, Davinder. I'm very well. How are you?
I am doing good. So before we dive into the world of essentialism, why don't you give an introduction about your online world, like your online history, what you've been doing in the online world for the last few years? We have a company today. No worries.
Yeah. So pardon the dogs. It's one of those days here. So I've been active online as long as there has been an online to be active in, back to the days of America Online mailing everybody floppy disks that they didn't ask for. So, you know, I started my business in 1993. I've been in business for 27 years. I started as a graphic designer and moved into the online space, you know, in the mid-90s, started doing websites. And fast forward many, many years into modern times, I do mostly WordPress sites. And because I start usually helping people with their branding, they come to me, they need a logo, but they don't need a logo. They need everything. So, you know, I work with them to develop their messaging and their branding, their visuals, and then we build the website. And I've developed, just out of necessity, a repeatable process that I can take people through and build out their website as a platform for marketing. Because what I realized early on is that when you work with small businesses, they often don't have the marketing chops. You know, they're good at what they do and they don't necessarily know how to grow it. So I just learned and help people figure out how they're going to drive demand for their product, build a platform to support them in those activities, and, you know, kind of coach them through it. And eventually, you know, it kind of, my services start to taper off. But most recently, I've been kind of pursuing my own entrepreneurial endeavors. So I continue to do the client work, and I co-founded Content Creators Planner with Kim Doyle. So mm-hmm. I know your listeners are familiar with Kim.
Yeah.
So she brought her idea to me and asked me to partner with her and help her to create the planner. So that was my role there. And now we're figuring out how to grow and scale together. And I also started a lifestyle brand called Live Love Dogs, which it's kind of like Life is Good, but it's dog specific. And I also sell my artwork online. So
awesome. Now, we all seem very busy in what we do, and we all are stressed, busy, and overwhelmed. And whenever we look for solutions, the answer that you get most of the time is be minimalistic, practice minimalism, like take out all the extra accessories that are disturbing you and only focus on the basic minimal stuff.
I feel like I need to tell everybody that there is somebody hammering on my house that was not supposed to be here today.
And dog is trying to stop him.
She's protecting me. Oh gosh, sorry.
Okay, back to the topic now. We often hear minimalism as the answer. Now, you are suggesting essentialism. Now, how is essentialism different from minimalism on a base level to begin sure. with?
So they are very similar. The way I define the two, so where minimalism is a style or a technique of extreme spareness or simplicity, I think essentialism is more of a mindset than a tactic. So in minimalism, you're just like trying to get rid of stuff and just have the bare minimum, clothing, books, everything is digital instead of having stuff around you. And that's great. Nothing against it. But I think with essentialism, I think about it like this. If you're focusing on a lot of different things, which most of us are, if you're not really focusing on just the vital pieces, you're making like a millimeter of progress in a million different directions. But if you really can figure out what the essential next step is for each of those projects or each of those businesses, and just focus on the essential and do what we all call consistent imperfect action, just on the vital few things, you will move the needle forward. And I'm doing more than anybody could possibly do well, and I know it, and things fall through the cracks and I'm overwhelmed, and I can't say that I'm the model of doing it properly, but I find that when I take the time to really determine what is essential, because there's so many things that I want to do and can do, but when I just focus on the essential, I actually make more progress than I could otherwise.
Yeah, because creative mind is full of ideas, and you get an idea and you want to implement it the next day.
Mm-hmm. Ideaphoria, I call that.
Yeah, because now you say that you do not that many things, but actually you do a lot of things. Like you have an agency, you run Content Creators Planner with Kim, that's two. Then you have a website for Focused on Dogs, that's three. You have a fine art website, that's four. Did I miss anything else?
Not that I want to admit.
So how do you manage and, how do you distribute your time? Not just time, but also your, mind and brain power to it. Because time is something else, but brain power is what actually these businesses require.
Yeah. It's really hard. I block out my days. So usually I have one major client project, and then I have Content Creators Planner, and those right now are like my top priority items. And then I have, so seriously, Jasper, I'm blowing air at her, not doing anything bad. I calendar block. So I'm freshest in the morning. So I get up a little bit earlier than I care to, just because having, if I can get up at like 5:30 and start early, I can get, a 4-hour block of work done before my day can possibly go sideways because I haven't checked email, haven't answered the phone, those kinds of things. So I just have to make those priorities. And then I schedule small blocks of time, usually an hour each around those larger ones where I can do all the smaller things that inevitably come up, which, you know, are could be related to my other businesses.
Jasper.
Which could be related to my other businesses, or, you know, usually it's client stuff and email, but, you know, I'm generally putting in 10, 12 hour days right now, but I don't do it in one long stretch. I have to break my day up. And as for having the space in my head to think about all these different things, I mean, it's virtually impossible. I mean, you just have to constantly be prioritizing and reprioritizing. So if this is the time that I'm supposed to be working on content planner, everything else is turned off. I'm not looking at anything. And I just look at what the next most important thing is that I could possibly do that moves the needle forward. And that's where I think the essentialism plays in, because, you know, we all have that massive to-do list, and I think we're all more alike than different.
Yeah.
And I think we tend to do the thing that we feel like doing that might be on that list most of the time, because some tasks feel like frogs, you know, it's hard, or it's going to be complicated. And when you force yourself to do it, it's usually not as bad and doesn't take as long as you think it's going to, just for whatever reason you've been avoiding it. But if you can decide, like, what is the next most important thing that will actually lead to usually money coming in for that project, do that. And if you can just train yourself to do that, it's really amazing. First of all, how much fewer things you actually need to be doing. And, you know, it becomes more fun when you actually start seeing the results. It's a slog if you're just, you know, doing
and sometimes even simplest things are difficult to do. Like you said, that I'll focus on one task and cut out all the distraction. Now, this everyone knows, but guess what? It's difficult for everyone to practice.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Often simple things are more difficult to grasp.
Yeah. But it's amazing. Like, so, I mean, it does kind of cross over into minimalism, but, you know, like, so content planner is a great example. So last year got a little bumpy for Kim and I in the middle of the year in the summer. And she had stuff going on with her mom, who actually passed away last summer. And I had a lot of stuff going on in my personal world. And we couldn't do everything. So we focused on paid traffic. With paid traffic alone and, you know, a little bit of organic stuff, because we do produce a little bit of content, but it's not like we've been producing tons of content. It just by focusing on that kept the whole project moving. And ultimately we got to where we were able to scale it. And by scaling it, now we can carve out more time for ourselves to produce the content, because money is flowing. And had life not thrown us some curveballs, we might have done those things in a different order, because we like to create content.
Yeah.
Paid traffic is not fun.
Exactly.
But, you know, it was the next most important thing to do. And, you know, so now we're going to launch the affiliate program, not because that's fun, you know, that's technical and, you know, a lot of tasks, but it's the next most important piece.
Yeah.
And by putting that in place, then we can do the fun stuff, which is make a podcast.
Yeah, I know all about that part. But now you mentioned, like, you on a day-to-day level, like, you block certain hours on certain things, right? Now, if you move away and focus from and see from the distance, like, how do you plan from month to month basis, or even quarter to quarter, and considering your essentialism framework in the context of this planning, which is broader, like a month to month or maybe quarter to quarter?
So I don't really do quarter to quarter so much as I do month to month. Beyond 90 days, everything changes. So I don't really get that far ahead, but I limit the number of, like, main things. So I can have, like, one main client project, and depending on the size of that project, you know, I figure out how many weeks is that going to take, and I block that out on the calendar, you know. So let's say it gets the 4-hour block every morning, 4 days a week. I just block that out all the way across my calendar, and I I honor that as best I can. Of course, some days are just fall apart, but you know, I try to schedule around that. And then there's always stuff going on for content planner. So that's always got time on the schedule. And then I always leave a block of, you know, I don't know what to call it, just like flex time for the other things that aren't worth like actually writing on the calendar, the smaller things. And I'm just constantly learning not to overload myself, but I can't say I'm successful in that regard. I'm definitely overloaded right now.
No one is actually. So
that's okay. Consistent and perfect action. You know, you just got to keep trying.
Okay. Now you mentioned that you focus on things and cut out all the distraction, but guess what? You do client work. And when you have clients, and especially those clients who are on care plans or someone who is vintage and they are used to, you know, emailing you, how mm-hmm. do you handle the distractions, that sort of distractions, like you're working on something and clients are broke or that client needs immediate attention? Like how does your essentialism framework handle those exceptional cases?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't check my email constantly anymore. I check it a few times a day and not exactly on a schedule, just like when I'm in between the bigger blocks of time, I'll check it just to make sure something hasn't caught on fire that I need to address. But I've put other resources in place to handle the day-to-day, and they only have to loop me in if something needs me to make a decision or help with something. So I have a virtual assistant who works like as a team. So I just deal with her, and then she has a team of people. So they are the first line of defense. So clients on care plans, you know, they contact support at Orange Star and it goes to her, and she has the choice to either do it or send it to one of the resources that I have in place to help. And if something is out of the ordinary, just let me know. So just, and I've only started doing it that way more recently, and that has freed me up from so much noise. Like I don't need to know about it unless I need to know about it, you know. And then on other things that are more design oriented, you know, most things aren't as urgent as people think they are. So if I just respond to them and say, okay, I'll take care of it, it doesn't need to be like right this minute. And that's what I use that little flex time on the bottom of every day on my calendar for. I just take care of those little things. And by making sure I do them regularly, that way something silly and small like that never becomes a fire drill.
Okay. Now, I believe this essentialism framework has come from the experience that you have. Like you have big amount of experience compared to me or even most of people I know in this web design and development world, because you've been around for quite a while and you've seen the shift from not so online to fully online, and websites very important to website not being that important, and now being funnels and all that stuff. So you've seen all the landscape changes, and mm-hmm. you've adapted your work profile, and you've changed your work profile accordingly to the changing environment. Has this all contributed to, you know, the essentialism framework, like how to deal with things in a better manner? Obviously, when you get older, you get more mature, like you don't have, you know, impatient responses, like you don't have trigger of energy if someone is asking for your help and, hey, this is not the time to help and all that stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, I think the essentialism thing, it just sort of happened out of necessity. I was overwhelmed and burned out. And honestly, if I could have bought like the ice cream truck and become the ice cream delivery person and made everyone's happy to see the ice cream man, nobody's happy to talk to their web developer when their website's not working.
Wow.
I was sick of it. And I was trying to, you know, figure out like, what could I do? I couldn't afford to retire. So what could I do? So I had to shift my mindset and not be cranky every time I heard from a client. I should be happy when I hear from my clients. So, you know, it's mindset. So I've worked with a coach, and, you know, that has been helpful. I also had to get very real with what do I like to do and what do I not like to do, because we all procrastinate. It's part of being human. But the things that we tend to procrastinate, why it's, if we really look at them and are honest with ourselves, like, deal with it, stop doing those things, and then you're not procrastinating on them. Or, you know, put a person or a tool or something in place, like, to deal with it. So when I started really trying to deal with my own burnout and exhaustion, I just started finding tools. And I read the book Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and I'm like, wow, this is kind of interesting. And I never follow anyone's, like, system verbatim, but, you know, it gets in your thinking. And I also read The Power of Less by Leo Babauta, and that really resonated with me. And between coaching and those things, I just really started to eliminate things that I don't need to be doing. And that helped. And, you know, I just started doing less, because, you know, if you're good at, it's not even about being good at it. If you do a lot of things for a lot of people, you're not really specializing in anything. So I am quite a generalist, and this is, like, it's too much. You know, when everyone says, you know, just have a niche and define your offer and don't offer anything else. Like, I totally get that. But as a creative person, that's completely unfulfilling.
Yeah. You know? Your niche expands.
Exactly. But I think if we just continually review it and stop doing the things that maybe aren't profitable or that you hate doing, you know, just pick an area and start and just focus on the essentials. Like, I know which types of projects are profitable for me, so I do more of those. And there's some things that I still do that aren't the most profitable, but there's
creative satisfaction.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's because the referrals that are going to come from that are worth, you know, whatever the grind is of, you know, doing the thing, or, you know, outsource it if you have to. But, you know, one thing I've figured out years ago is that I don't like managing people. I had grown my agency and I had a couple of people working
Same
for me.
I hate it.
Oh my God. It was terrible. And it worked. I mean, I was able to bring in enough business for everybody to be busy, and it was profitable, and I hated every minute of my day, so I stopped doing it.
Yeah. Now you mention, and, you know, elaborating the essentialism framework and what it all, you know, involves. I think my essentialism is, like, if you get an idea, just do it. Don't think too much about it, and do it on a minimal viable basis. Like, mm-hmm. don't think, try to perfect, because we creatives have this real big problem of being perfect. Like, even when you have to design your own website, we'll keep designing it for a year and yet it won't finish. If it had been a client website, we'll be done in 2 weeks.
Done.
Because payment is staring.
It's true. When it's for yourself, you have to, like, sit back and admire it every 5 minutes.
Yeah. And ask 10, 15 people, is it good? No, it's not good. And guess what? You've already done so many website design for clients without asking anyone. But for your own website, you are just like, I've lost my creativity, right?
I think we second guess ourselves a lot when it's for ourselves. But I also think we skip some of the steps when it's for ourselves, because it's in our heads.
Exactly.
But if we really focused on who's the audience, what problem are we solving for them? What is our core message, and what are we selling? So many times I've run into this with clients. I'm like, okay, well, this is great. They know who their persona is. They kind of know what problem they're solving and how they solve it. I'm like, okay, and what are you selling? Like, how do we buy from you? And that's where it all falls apart for service businesses usually. But if we answer that for ourselves, I mean,
yeah,
I think it's easier to get out of your own way.
Going back to the minimal essentialism only, you know, stuff, like, in your normal work day now, how has essentialism impacted you? Like, which has been the biggest result of practicing essentialism? Obviously, one would be saving time. Like, you're not repeating the whole processes again and again. What else besides that?
Well, this is good timing, because I just did my financials yesterday for 2019 to send to my accountant and my financial advisor.
Is it good?
It was good. And the summer was very, very bad for a lot of reasons. Hey. So good news is by really getting focused, I made more money last year than most previous years. And I have successfully launched other revenue streams from client services only, which has been a goal of many years. And surprisingly, I thought that my goal was 3 to 5 years, shift my income where it was 100% client services, and all my personal projects I'd probably put in the expense category. I mean, they were making money, but they were like paying for themselves. But mostly this was supporting everything. I thought 3 to 5 years I'd get half and half, and eventually my exit strategy would be eventually move away from client services.
We all want to exit, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, and you know, I'm 52 years old, so I mean, I think about these things. So I really thought that my goal was to not be dependent on client services and that it would take 3 to 5 years. It doesn't mean I wouldn't do any client services, it just means I get to be choosier. And with the experience that I've had with Kim and scaling the content creators planner, when you get successful paid traffic going and you can scale that successfully, it's like pouring gas on a fire. So just seeing, having had that experience, I now have a different perspective on like my other projects like Live Love Dogs. And I have something that I'm trying to launch this year called The Smartest Way, which is my essentialist framework applied to branding and marketing for small business. And it's going to be a course. It's already a system that I use day to day with my clients. And it's just so clear what the essential pieces are. Like, whereas before, you know, it's a lot of work, you know? So I think I'm just surprised that what I made up worked, you know?
Awesome. Now, besides obviously saving time and, you know, making more money, has this essentialism framework helped you more from mind perspective and even the health perspective?
Yeah. I don't know about health, but definitely mindset. Because I really was burned out and I still have moments where I'm overwhelmed and I take it out on all the wrong people, which is bad, but it does help. And I still have too much on my plate. I need to figure some things out to have less that's on me, but it helps a lot. And I definitely recommend it.
And now, can you take more time off?
Oh, I wish. I ideally, yes, but not right now.
So someone who is listening this and is doing a lot of things like you've been doing it, and they have the same feeling of being burnt out, not sure which thing to focus on first, and things are all over the place. You wake up and you stare at 10 different things, and you don't know where to spend time. What would you suggest them? Taking, you know, essentialism as the centerpiece of all the thinking and workable strategy?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one. I'd say, first of all, take a step back, and usually just starting anywhere, you know, it just starting is more important than starting in the right place. I find that going for a walk or just actually taking the downtime, even when I feel like I can't afford the downtime, I can't take a day off, I'm too busy. But if I actually take the time, it creates that space in your head. And that's when we make abstract connections and we figure things out when we're not trying so hard. So I recommend taking a big time out, but also thinking about what your goals are. I mean, if you know what your goals are, it's a lot easier to figure out what the steps are and then look at that massive to-do list and look at how much of what you're doing isn't directly connected to your top goals and do something about that. You know, get rid of those tasks. Maybe you're not responsible for it. Maybe somebody else can do it.
And how difficult is the mindset change when you go through the essentialism framework? And, you know, because as a creative, you really want to do a lot of things that comes to your head, you know, and And the things, like if you get an idea today, you want to implement it at least as quickly as possible. But when you have so many things already staring at you, it's not possible. And even when you're doing something else, like you're doing client work, that idea is still hovering in your head and you want to put it on the plate. How do you handle that kind of a thing?
I usually, first of all, record it somewhere, you know, whether I've put it in Asana or written it in a notebook, whatever system you use. I have multiple systems and honestly, none of them really work great for me in that regard. I park stuff all over the place, but I know I can find it if I need to. And I just have to force myself to have the discipline to work on the thing that needs to be worked on right now. I can always come back to that stuff. So for the creative that just can't help themselves, just schedule time, like play time for yourself to do those things so that there's actually time blocked out for it. So you're not playing with a new idea when you really should be getting that client project off your plate. But I will say that when you force yourself to do this, because, you know, it's not the sexy thing to do, but if you force yourself to do it and you start getting results and your client work is getting done faster and more profitably, your bank account balance is going up, you start to feel good. And, you know, a mindset shift, it's uncomfortable to make a shift, but it's all good. I mean, nothing, like, don't expect perfection. Just, you know, take baby steps and try to adopt some better habits. And it's just amazing how, you know, it sounds cliche, but it's true that you can accomplish more by doing less if you're doing the right things. But the big question is, what are the right things? And it's different for everybody.
Yeah. And for those, you need to do things first and to find out which is the right one, right?
Yeah. And that's why I say start with your goals. I mean, I had a goal of not being dependent on client work.
Same here.
Within a few years.
Yeah. And I've been trying that for last 3-4 years so far. Mm-hmm. Kind of success. Like, obviously, you cannot cut that piece off immediately. Like, it takes time because you need to have some base income there to, you know, shift over.
Yeah. So when I first started down that road, I was just doing my own projects like Live, Love, Dogs in my free time that didn't exist. You know, it was nights and weekends. But when it was getting close to like viable that it could really launch, I started blocking time into my work days for it to finish some of the product stuff. And then I found that, you know, nights and weekends I was tired, so I wasn't working on it and it was just sitting there. But, you know, you just, no one says it's easy. It's simple, but not easy.
Yeah. You mentioned free time. It's not free time. It's cheat time. Like, we cheat our time that idly you should be watching television or maybe going for a walk. Or maybe sleeping, actually. We steal time from all these things and label it as a free time. It's actually not free time.
No, it's so true. And it's good that you said that. So while I work way too much, because I mean, I am working like 12 hours a day most days, I get 8 hours of sleep. I go to bed early. I get up early. I'm single. So, you know, I'm not raising family. I don't have those responsibilities. I do have two giant dogs, as you've all heard barking and sticking their heads in. It's a lot less, you know, a lot less required of me there. But, you know, I'm close with my family. I help my parents with lots of stuff. I always make time for that. And, you know, my close circle of friends, I'm always there for them. It's, you know, you just got to focus on what's important to you. But I don't really, what's missing for me is the free time. I don't really schedule that in right now, and I'm conscious of it, and I can't sustain this for long. It's just kind of what's happening right now.
Now, over the period of a few years now, courtesy of essentialism and essential framework, now you may have stopped doing something because you want to focus on other things. Any regrets that you've stopped certain specific thing and you actually shouldn't have done that? Like, you should have continued with that.
Totally. I haven't been making art for years and it's killing me.
And it's the creative aspect of the brain as well.
Yeah. I mean, I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts. That's my background. So I used to do, I've done gallery shows and I used to do art festivals, and every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was, you know, days off and art time for me. And it's Friday for the last 2 years has been Orange Star Day, which simply means I work on my business and on my own projects. But generally, it's a catch-up day for client stuff that I didn't get done Monday through Thursday. So like I said, it's all work in progress. The essentialism stuff works, but when you have too much that you're responsible for, it's, you know, you do the best that you can.
And I guess based on essentialism framework, you're going to cut down more on certain branches of your business and trim the tree so that it goes up more than the sideways.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I'm Content Creators Planner is going great. So I'm putting, you know, more time and focus there and on client work. I'm just keeping my current client base happy. And when new things come up, if it's for an existing client, I figure out how I'm going to get it done for them. I might need more help than I used to use. And if it's a new client coming to me from somewhere, I have to think long and hard about whether I take it on or not. So I've actually been having to say no to some things and referring things to friends and colleagues. So yeah, it's, you know, life just comes at you. You know, you can only plan like so much. So for instance, you know, I've been saying no to some client stuff, new client opportunities, but something just came up very unexpectedly for Live Love Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Jane, who's the painter who paints the custom pet portraits for Live Love Dogs and for herself, she has her own website as well. She stumbled into an amazing opportunity that has urgency around it because of an event that was already scheduled on the 27th. And we're having to scramble to be ready to take advantage of that opportunity. And that was not on my radar at all, you know, as of a few weeks ago. And, you know, Kim and I have certain things that we're trying to do for the content planner, and I have these client projects going on, and I mean, I cannot pull hours out of thin air. So I'm just, you know, doing the best I can to move things around, just do what the most important priority essential thing is like in any moment. And, you know, that's shifting when you have multiple projects going on.
Yeah. So the bottom line with essentialism is figure out your essentials and stick with it.
Yeah. And, you know, cut yourself some slack. It's not a perfect science, but you can accomplish more by doing less if you're doing the right things.
Awesome. Now let's switch gears and talk about your toolbox. So which are your current 5 favorite tools that power your online business?
I'd say Asana, Dropbox, also Google Drive. Those are kind of the same tool for me. WordPress. And WooCommerce.
Yeah, WooCommerce for sure.
And an unpopular one also for me is the Adobe Creative Suite. As a professional designer, I don't really have a choice but to use the industry standard, and I'm in it all day long.
Yeah, a lot of people hate it, but they use it because there's no equivalent option. Yes, there's Affinity products, but they're still too catch to that level. They're good for basic stuff, but not the advanced
if you
stuff.
Need to hand your files off to a printer or somebody, though, they don't want that. So,
yeah, it's still not the industry standard. It's still like a beginner. Sure. A lot of people don't know about it. So, any recommended web hosting service that what you use for yourself or even for your clients?
Yeah, I mostly use WP Engine. Once I moved to them years ago, after we had a private server on Rackspace that started having all kinds of security issues. I was like, I can't do this anymore. I moved to WP Engine at the time, which was kind of the leader at the time for managed WordPress. And I've been happy with them, so I just haven't moved. We did just move the content planner site, content creators planner site, to something called Convasio, which is really interesting and fast.
Yeah, I got to know about that. Like, it was new for me as well. So I'm still kind of exploring the new thing. Like, they're yet to do their marketing thing, right? Because a lot of people don't know about them.
Yeah, it's like they're not in like full release yet. It's kind of in beta or something.
Okay, any recommended page builder? I'm sure you will gonna say Beaver Builder, because
I use Beaver Builder and Beaver Themer, as you know, because you've helped me a number of times when I try to make something simple complicated.
Yeah, actually, this is what happens.
Because the more you learn, the more complicated you make it.
Because, you know, there are times when you ask me a question, and guess what? I answered this question a few years back because I was stuck at the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's all about doing things and, you know, discovering. Once you do a thing, obviously it sounds easy, but someone who's not done that thing, that will sound difficult, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Beaver Builder. Yes, it's an awesome product. Any recommended email marketing service? I'm sure you use one for Content Creators Planner.
I use ActiveCampaign, and I really like it. And the reason why I use it instead of something like ConvertKit is it has the deep integration for WooCommerce that they added. And it, so, you know, I've got three WooCommerce sites between Live Love Dogs, my artwork, and Content Creators Planner. So it's kind of the natural choice. And I moved to that from Infusionsoft. So, and I've done a lot with MailChimp, but ActiveCampaign is my favorite.
Awesome. And last question, any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention recently?
Not really. I kind of put myself on an information diet, so I don't really know what's coming, except that when you share something and I'm like, oh, that looks cool. Like, you just showed me something the other day that looked really cool and I can't even remember what it was.
Even I don't remember, because I share a lot of things.
Share a lot of things. I can't remember what it was, but it looked cool.
Information diet. Is that another word for essentialism?
Well, a little bit. So I don't remember who this is not my original concept. I don't remember who I heard this from. But, mm-hmm. You know, there's the Pareto principle that says we make like 80% of our progress from 20% of our efforts, or you make 80% of your money from 20% of your clients.
Yeah.
Something like that. So as a creative person, I think I need to be producing 80% of the time and consuming 20% of the time. And so I'm just kind of limiting how much I'm taking in right now. Like, no webinars, no email newsletters. I'm not paying attention right now, because I can find that stuff when I need it.
Yeah, even if you apply that principle to your own stuff, like, you make 80% from 20% of the stuff that you've created, like in terms of websites and all that stuff, but you will still focus on all your own, you know, website, because they are like your own babies, and mm-hmm. you don't really care, like, this one made more money or that one made more money, unless you're talking about client websites. Like, here we are talking about your own projects.
Well, and you never know the potential of those projects. So don't only focus on the ones that are, you know, making all the money. If there's something that you can do on one of those to move it forward, I'm all about it. I mean, Live Love Dogs has just been sitting here. I hadn't been marketing it. I built it a few years ago and got my proof of concept and ran some paid traffic. And I don't remember what exactly was going on that made me stall, but it stalled and I was so busy with other things that I just kind of set it
aside. Essentialism.
And then this big opportunity just kind of fell on us that my friend Jane stirred up. So all of a sudden I woke that project up and trying to get everything in place.
Yeah, because when we start, we are always rusty, because just before the call, I think I shared with you, I don't know whom I shared with it. Like, I was watching my first episode of my podcast, like, which I did like in 1.5 year back. And I was checking out how horrible the video looked, how I sounded. Like, in a year, you know, you do get better at things once you start mm-hmm. doing it all over again. And it's so nice. Like, now I compare, like, I sound a little more professional than I was then. Obviously, you can always get better, because I don't do relative comparison with XYZ person, because you should compare yourself. If you become better than last month, that's good enough, right?
Absolutely. So, I love I don't know who first said this either, but, you know, your first 5 or 10 episodes are going to suck. So go ahead and get the sucking over with, and, you know, don't try to make it perfect. Just get started and you're going to get better, and don't throw them away. Like, they're your first 10. They're like you said, they're kind of funny when you look back at them.
Exactly. But I got like few of my best friends in those episodes. So mm-hmm. I knew even if I goof up, they will come back again and re-record with me.
I'm sure. Well, I have to go back and look at them. I'm sure they were good.
Okay, cool. So thank you so much for your time. But before we end this episode, where can people find you and what you can help people with? I'm sure you can help people with a lot of things. So fire.
Well, contentcreatorsplanner.com with Kim Doyle. Mm-hmm. And then my design firm is orangestar.com and livelovedogs.com. And then my artwork is at jodyhirsch.com. Awesome. And I'm on all the social channels. I'm under my name. I'm very easy to find.
Any upcoming project under Essential, approved by Essentialism Framework?
Not adding anything new at this time. So please, nobody ask me to partner on anything. I can't. I'm not allowed to say yes to anything.
Okay, Jodi. Thank you so much for your time. It was amazing talking to you. As
you
always.
Too, thanks.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.